It's such a privilege to be back here. And thank you so much, May, for inviting me. And I know that you have a heart for people affected with leprosy. And I've been to various events here. And, you know, I'm just so grateful. And I speak on behalf of leprosy-affected people because you are the missionaries. It's you guys that are making the difference. And I'm going to be taking you through our campaign for this year. But before we start, I just want to... Last year you supported Purulia Hospital in India, and they were building an outpatients department. Dr. Jordeepa and Dr. Pham, they run Purulia Hospital, and they wanted to say a sincere thank you to you for everything that you've done to help them.
We're so grateful to you all for that.
Yeah, thank you all of you donors and supporters for your prayers, for the finances that you have shared with us, and may this dream come possible. Thank you.
So Dr. Jordeepa and Dr. Pham, I've got to know them personally, and they've actually moved to Delhi now to the headquarters of Leprosy Mission India, but they spent many years at Purulia working 7 days a week, and they could never have a holiday together because they were a husband and wife team. So everything that, you know, you did here and other churches around the UK have just given them such joy, so thank you. But this year, about this time last year, I was in Niger. You know, we've had a very hot summer, haven't we? I've absolutely loved it. And it's got up to 31, 32 degrees. When I was in Niger, which we're going to be talking about, it was 42, 43 degrees. I've never known heat quite like it. It's sub-Sahara Africa. So sort of setting the scene, and I'm going to be taking you through the campaign for this year. If I didn't really know where Niger was till I had to go there and I had to quickly look on a map and go, oh my goodness. So it sits above Nigeria. It's the second poorest country in the world. There's a high rate of child marriage. Just children get married at 13, 14, 15. Girls aren't given an education. And it has the lowest rate of adult illiteracy. Let me just move that there. And 80% of it is desert. It's so dry and so hot. And I thought, how do these people make a living? It's almost, because you can imagine living there and you're bottom of a ladder with poverty, and then if you've got leprosy, you're below that. And I have to say, a female with leprosy just has no chance whatsoever. So this is where we're stepping in to help. So we went to Niger, and it just absolutely opened my eyes to see how hard it is for these people trying to struggle in that heat. The rains had come, actually, on my second visit, but, you know, it's not sustainable for most of the people. 25% of children under the age of 5 die before their 5th birthday. It's just a very hard country to live in. But we really felt and we prayed on this, that God said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So this is what this campaign is about. And we met... these three wonderful women, and they're on the poster too, and you've all got a pack, which I wanted you to have so you can take home to read in more detail. Now, this is three generations. Sitting in the middle is Habsu. Habsu is 54. She contracted leprosy when she was a young girl, and she's had to beg all her life. She has no hands, no feet, and is now blind. And she just shuffles along, and she has had to beg for an existence. Her daughter Mariama, with the blue shawl on, Mariama was actually sent off as a very young child to live with an aunt who beat her mercilessly, and she was treated as a slave. Mariama did come back to her mother when she was 15 and was immediately married off to a much older leprosy-affected man. You know, her life was, and she's now 23, and she had a little daughter, Saudi. And I had the pleasure of meeting these three fantastic women. And Lariana just thought, I don't want my little daughter Sawadi to have the same fate as I have. Mariana, the mother, hasn't got leprosy, but she's wrapped in the chains of this disease because of her mother. So little Sawadi, we want, you know, she wants to be a nurse. She's a bright little thing. And we just thought, let's help her break out of the chains that she found herself wrapped in. But how do we do that? What do we do to help somebody like Sawadi or and other children like her, because she's not alone? What can we do to help here in our wonderful town in Stamford? Well, they need water. Now, they're in Danja village. It's a remote village next to a hospital that treats leprosy-affected people, so the people gather to this village. Now, they did build this water tank 10 years ago when the village only had 4,500 people, and the hospital was half the size it is today. Now, when I went there, I saw the water taps with locks on. They'd locked the water supply because it was running dry and the hospital takes preference, which is understandable. So they didn't know when the locks would be taken off their taps in their village. And you can imagine, water is life-giving on so many levels. It's good for, obviously, nutrition and keeping the immune system strong, but it's good, obviously, for the cleanliness and their self-esteem, so they can wash and wash their clothes and what have you. So water is absolutely crucial in this part of Africa and in Danja. Another way to break the chains, and this is really close to my heart, is education. Girls need to be educated in Africa, especially here, for them to be able to break free and find an opportunity to live a life worthy of living to the full. So, and kids in Africa are so keen to have an education. I've got three children, actually they've all finished school, 18, 20 and 22. I can't remember one day when they went, I cannot wait to go to school today. They just took it for granted. They went to a great school and it was, oh, you know. Whereas children in Africa would do anything to go to school, anything, because they understand that this is what is going to set them free. Another way to help them break free from the chains of leprosy is having a sustainable income. Mariama, the mother in the blue shawl, she needs to have an income to pay for her little daughter to have an education. So not only will she be able to pay for her daughter to have an education, it will absolutely raise and build her self-esteem. She needs to walk into her village with her head held high because she's able to provide income for her families. So we're looking at being able to have tailoring classes and give sewing machines to women so that they can create their own income by, you know, making dresses for the women in the village. And I love this, the self-help groups. I had the privilege of going to one of these groups where women and men come together, separate groups, and they just support each other. Now, we know how important a community is, you know. And I don't know, here in our hometown, when people don't have a church to go to or choose not to go to a church, where is their community? Is it the pub? I really don't know. Whereas community, you know, there was a birthday here and you all gathered around and had something to eat or went for a drink or whatever. Because that is community, celebrating each other's lives, helping each other out. Now in Niger, these self-help groups are their community. So the women all come together and they all check each other's hands and feet for ulcers, and I'm sure they, you know, keep each other intact. So it's very powerful that they continue with these self-help groups. So see, these are four ways to help people break out of the chains of leprosy. And, you know, I could have wept for Sawadi when I went over this time, because I just thought, here is a little girl that deserves a life and a life in all its fullness. She deserves to have an education and to be a nurse. She wants to be a nurse because she wants to help people like her grandmother. So together we can do this. We can help that little girl like Sawadi and many others to have a life and life in all its fullness. So I'm going to show you a film that we made when I was over in Niger.
It's early evening in Danger, a small town in southern Niger. A large number of leprosy-affected families struggle to survive here. Many exist in extreme poverty. Most have at least one family member living with a lifelong disability. Survival is a huge struggle for the strongest and the fittest in Niger. In the fierce, burning heat, it's usual to walk several miles to fetch water. Crops are hard to grow in the sun's scorched earth, and there are few opportunities to earn a living. In the very poorest parts of Danger, three generations of the same family get ready for their basic evening meal. Beneath their smiles, this family are tragically wrapped in the chains of leprosy.
20 years.
I used to be very beautiful. I had many sickness when I was young, but not anymore. When I caught leprosy, my life changed completely.
I was thrown out of my home.
I had to beg for a dinner. Now I'm blind as well. Hapsu's daughter, Mariama, didn't catch leprosy, but was considered tainted and dirty because her parents had leprosy. Her life has been devastated by the poverty and the discrimination forced upon her from an early age.
When I was very young, my mother went away to beg and left me with an aunt. My aunt was very cruel. She made me work very hard and would often beat me. I never went to school. I was treated like a slave. When I was 15, my mother introduced me to a much older man. Not only was he older, but he had suffered from leprosy. I didn't want to marry him, but I had no choice.
Saudi is a bright and vivacious 8-year-old girl with high hopes of training to be a nurse when she grows up. She should have a whole life ahead of her, but as the child of a leprosy-affected family, she faces a lifetime of hardship and discrimination. Each day she helps her mother with chores as best she can, but unless something changes, Saudi will never get a proper education, never earn a decent living, never achieve her hopes and dreams. Across Africa, thousands of leprosy-affected children are trapped in poverty. These children are the innocent casualties of this terrible disease. The Leprosy Mission has a plan to rescue these children and their families from the chains of leprosy. Leprosy Mission staff are already working in communities across Niger, providing the expertise and knowledge that can change their lives. They just need your support. My name is Helen Morton. I work for the Leprosy Mission, and I've come to Niger to find out how children like Saudi can be rescued from a life of unnecessary hardship. The first step starts here. At self-help care groups organised by the Leprosy Mission, adults and parents affected by leprosy are brought together to share their experiences. They're encouraged to stand up for their rights, to not feel ashamed of their condition, and to take back control of their lives.
This is brilliant. Seeing people's lives transformed because they come together to support each other, to boost their self-esteem, to regain their dignity, so they can go back into their communities with their heads held high.
Next, I'm going to visit a leprosy-affected mother who's been given the means to work herself out of poverty. Thanks for the Leprosy Mission. Aisha was taught how to use a sewing machine at a Leprosy Mission training centre. She is now an accomplished seamstress, earning a living that supports both herself and her family. This is how we can transform lives, by providing income generation opportunities for every family, giving them a hope and a future, giving them a life worthy of living. Finally, we want to ensure that every leprosy-affected child can go to school. We know that a good education reduces poverty, increases income, and gives children a better chance for a long and happy life. Jesus came that they may have life and have it to the full.
Together, we can help Sally and other children like her to fulfill their dreams for the future. Jesus came to give us life in its fullness and abundance. Help us to do the same for Sally today.
For as little as £3 a month, you can help a child like Sally. Together, we can give them a hope and a future.
So that sort of paints the picture a little bit. It's hard to imagine sometimes me just saying words, but yeah. So how can we help? We can help by, you know, giving towards Saudi's education, by having income generation, and obviously fresh water is really important for their, you know, for their self-esteem and for their immune system. Hopefully we've all been given a pack. And in there's just ways to be able to give. The most important thing is prayer. We just value prayer, and there's a prayer leaflet in every pack, because that is what we need to do first before we do anything else. I would say prayer first. That's the one. That's that one. Hold it up. Yay, well done. That's exactly it. And then so it's prayer and awareness and donations. There are envelopes here if you want to give some money. If you can gift aid, that helps us get money from the government, and we all like doing that. But what's really important for us is regular giving. And we just say, for £3 a month, for a cup of coffee a month, would you be able to help somebody like Saudi? And it helps us plan ahead. So in 9 months' time, we can go, do you know, we have enough funds to be able to put 20 kids. That's the one. Thank you. I like my helper. It's this one. So we can put, you know, these regular giving donation forms go a long, long way. And obviously you can cancel whenever. But it helps us plan ahead. Yes, that's just the chat about this. It's this. This is this form. So thank you. And as I said before, it's churches like this that are the missionaries. You are making the difference. I'm the boring bit in the middle. It sort of comes through me, boring, and then goes back to Africa or India or wherever we're working. And lives are being transformed, not just through medical care, but through people coming to know Jesus. And that just blows my mind, the privilege that we have to be part of that process. From here sitting in church, to me, the boring bit, to the people over there in our hospitals and centres. So, yes, that's my PowerPoint. I'm going to take all this off, yeah? Thank you. So we're just going to unpack God's word right now. It's all well and good seeing all this, but, you know, we come to church to hear more about Jesus. So let us pray. Oh, Father God, thank you for the privilege of being together as part of your church, part of your family, part of your church. Thank you that together as brothers and sisters, we can wait on you. I pray, Lord, now anoint my lips. Let it be your words I speak. Open up each of our hearts to hear what it is you want us to what it is you want to say to each one of us today. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit just be flowing through this room. And we ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So I'm looking in the face of suffering. When I look back on last year, and it seems to be continuing again this year with the fires, especially in California, you know, the world seems to be groaning as in the pains of childbirth. We had the fire in the Glenfell Towers last year, the terrorist attacks around the world, including the Manchester and the London bombings, the floods in Bangladesh, the hideous fires now in California, and Japan's experience its biggest heat wave ever, and people, you know, it's just our world is groaning. And closer to home, we have family sicknesses, we have divorce, we have rape and murder, and we hear all the hideous stuff going on our news. The list really just goes on. And every 2 minutes, someone around the world is being diagnosed with leprosy. Last year alone, there were 214,000 people were diagnosed with this hideous disease. That's 214,000 people who are suffering the consequences of a debilitating, hideous, ancient disease. Leprosy robs individuals of their livelihoods, their families, their communities, and their self-worth. Leprosy is a bacteria disease transmitted on breathed-out droplets, and it's only caught by someone breathing them in on a prolonged basis. And it only attacks the nerves, preventing the sense of the, you know, you lose the sense of pain on your hands and feet, which obviously then causes infections from and cuts and ulcers, and burns are not felt. And it's the subsequent infection of these ailments that causes so much of the physical deformities familiar with leprosy when we see people with lost fingers and feet. The infected nerves also prevent brain messages to the muscles, which cause the claw hand, which is very typical and I'm sure you're aware of. The drop foot, they can't pick a foot up, so they just drag it, so they end up dragging off the toes at the end of their feet. And eyelids that stop working. You can imagine in a dusty climate like Niger with wind and sand and they can't blink and oh my goodness. You know, there are no easy answers for the painful realities of living with the consequences of leprosy. There is something really deeply mysterious, strange and inexplicable about the suffering. You know, both in our own lives and those we are called to help. There's an anonymous quotation from the hospice movement that has been a great source of strength and wisdom for me. Suffering is not a question which demands an answer. It's not a problem which demands a solution. It's a mystery that demands a presence. And we're not called to give answers and explanations. We're called to be there, to be a presence for those who are facing suffering and loss and pain. And what we see in the passage from Luke's gospel that I read a minute ago is that God himself in the person of Jesus came to be there with the afflicted, the oppressed, the broken and the suffering. He was there with them. It said a large crowd of his disciples were there and a large great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Jesus, filled with love and compassion, chose to spend his time not with the elite and the privileged, but those who suffered from various diseases, those with mental and spiritual anguish, those who were the very outcasts of society. And he cared about every aspect of their lives, the physical needs, the psychological needs, the spiritual despair. He didn't respond with, oh, I'll just pray for you. And now, don't get me wrong, prayer is good and prayer is powerful. But maybe, just maybe, you know, could you be the answer to someone's prayer who's crying out to be there? Luke's gospel has a physician's eye for the details of the human story. He focused on the outcast, the people of no account, the broken, the sick, and the abandoned people who came to Jesus. And the profound and sensitive way in which Jesus cared, and the way he was a presence for each one of them. Time and again, Luke and the other gospel writers went out of their way to show that Jesus was deeply moved and engaged by human suffering. He entered in. He literally entered into the experience of others. And Luke uses a Greek word, splanchtizomai, which means literally that his bowels were moved with compassion. In the literal Greek, he was gutted, gutted by the suffering of others. Another word implies that he was troubled like the swirling of deep waters. Another, that he snorted like a horse in anger. This is a deep and profound emotion that Jesus felt. And the God who is revealed in Jesus is not a God who gives an explanation for the pain. Instead, he enters into the experience of suffering. And on the cross, he took our pain and our guilt and our suffering in his own body. Through his suffering, we are forgiven, we are healed, and we have been set free. In fact, it seems to me that this is the deepest mystery of the Christian faith. Suffering and evil and pain can be transformed. It can be redeemed by God's grace and turned into something unexpected and wonderful. It seems that God's plan for this age is not to abolish human suffering, but to redeem it, to bring blessing and healing out of evil and pain. This is a deep mystery, and I've experienced it in my own life, and I've seen it in the lives of many, many others. And I've come to the conclusion that there is no evil situation, however twisted, however malevolent, however apparently meaningless, that cannot in some sense be transformed by God's grace and power into a blessing and a healing. I mean, that is a statement of faith. I can't prove it. We can't prove it, but we believe it. The more broken we are, the more God can show his glory. But the process of healing, redemption, and transformation doesn't happen automatically. It requires our willing acceptance and cooperation with God's love and power working through the Holy Spirit. We're part of his team. And I can't talk about the mystery of suffering without looking to the future. In Christian thought, suffering is always shot through with a hope and a longing for the future. God's plan for this age is not to abolish suffering, but he has promised that one day he will. And at the end of the book of Revelations, we read the words, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any more mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." I welcome that day to sit with King Jesus. I've always been struck by this image. This is not a picture of a terrible and fearful holy God. No, this is a mother's lap. A child whose face is streaked and blotchy through hours of crying, with gentle fingers just stroking away the tears. This is our God. The motherly father, the one who inspires every gentle and compassionate carer. The one who promises that one day there will be no more mourning, no more crying, and no more pain. This is our God. Jesus really understood our suffering. And he impacts people's lives. And he impacted Wesley Bailey's life. Now, who is Wesley Bailey? He's the founder of the Leprosy Mission. He went to India as a young man in the 1860s from Ireland, and during his visit he witnessed the severe suffering of leprosy, and he vowed to care for these people affected with leprosy. That was going to be his lifetime work. Wesley was quite shocked by what he saw in India. Many leprosy-affected people left abandoned and outcast. I mean, just completely ostracized. They were severely disfigured with clawed hands, stump feet, some blind, some horribly disfigured faces. Bailey wrote at that time, I almost shuddered, yet at the same time was fascinated, and I felt if ever there was a Christ-like work in the world to do, it was to go amongst these poor sufferers and bring them the consolation of the gospel. So we started as a mission based on prayer, and 147 years later, we're still doing what Jesus called us to do, coming alongside leprosy-affected people, bringing them life transformation in every way. And like Wesley Bailey, we are called to be there with those who suffer. Suffering is a mystery that demands a presence. And this was the profound and wonderful vision that Bailey embodied in his own life and ministry. But as you can imagine, living in Niger, and I've shown you the video to give you a better picture, a poor, neglected country in sub-Sahara Africa, people affected by leprosy are the lowest of the low. Children born into leprosy-affected families are wrapped in the chains of stigma, little or no education, poor sanitation, and limited access to treatment, and the poor women are particularly ostracised. This is why we need your help together. And it is a privilege to partner with God. I absolutely, the longer I'm with the leprosy mission, I'm thinking, wow. It's a privilege to partner with God, to be part of his team coming alongside those who suffer. Because that's what he's called us to do. To love one another as God loves us. But the question is, and this is a question I ask myself frequently, are we willing and prepared to be healers and restorers of broken, suffering lives that have been devalued and ostracized? Are we prepared to respond to God's calling to make a difference? Together, we come alongside those who suffer. Whether it's in our own families, whether it's in our church or our local community. As you leave this morning, I ask God, give me eyes to see and ears to hear the mission on my own doorstep, in my own family, in my hometown. It's not just over in Niger. Because together we can be part of God's team making a lasting difference. And maybe God has touched your heart to help break the chains of leprosy for people in Niger. And I'm wondering, some of you may be just hearing a message from God today of his powerful love and amazing grace. Maybe you're hearing it in a new, fresh way today. And if that is you, and you just really want to experience the abundant love of Jesus, if you want to come back to the cross to know the love of Jesus, and all he asks us to do in our hearts is to invite him in. Invite him in. You know, we say sorry for the wrong things that we've done. And then we invite him in to walk with us in a new and fresh way. Let us pray. Father God, thank you that you stepped down into our world. Thank you, Jesus, that you chose to be with the ostracized and the lowly. Thank you, Jesus, when you died and rose again, you left your Holy Spirit with each one of us. And you called us to be your hands and your feet, your heart. Help us, Lord Jesus, today in a new and fresh way to come alongside those who just need your loving touch. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you walk with us each day. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen.